being in Christ and Christ being in us is the critical key element. It's His glory deposited on the inside of us so that you become shining bright ones, revealing His light, His truth, His glory. God says, I've poured a glory in you that far exceeds even what I've done in the Old Testament. We're called to walk in a greater glory, that the glory that God has and that he has shown us in His Son and deposited on the inside of us. We are called to walk in that glory, but a greater glory. His glory changes us, right? It's the glory of the Lord. He changes us so that we can walk in a greater level, a greater sphere. Remember, I taught you before and I told you how the glory of God is the power of God. It's Jesus. Number one, it is Jesus. It's His presence, right? And it's His power. It's His fire. It's His cloud. It's His presence, His tangible presence. And it's in us. And we're called to walk in a higher realm of the glory of God for those that weren't here, right? So I wanted to kind of recap a little bit. So, but we being in Christ and Christ being in us is the critical key element, because we don't do any of this without outside of Christ. So being in Christ and Christ being in us is critical. It's key, right? So everything that we do, every move that we make, everything that we say, everything we think, we must train ourselves to remember we're in Christ and we carry something so beautiful, so precious, the glory. We carry the glory, and we're called to release that glory in a greater way. So if we carry God's glory, then we need to remember, how are we going to be a dispenser of what God has lavished on the inside of us, right? Because it's the very nature of Christ in us, which is the glory of the King. That's what we get to have. That's when we get to carry, right? And so it's that very nature that has changed us. We weren't like this when you first got saved. You weren't like this when you first started your walk. But look at what God has done in your lives. Look at how He has changed you from glory to glory. Look at how He has healed you and where He has brought you to. There is a level of maturity that you didn't have before. There's a level of confidence. There's a fierce, bold lion, fierce lion on the inside of you that's been coming forth. Why? Because the levels of God's glory have increased because you've stayed in Him, in Christ. We're in Christ. Amen? Amen. So we've already established that the Bible teaches the New Testament glory far exceeds the Old Testament glory. You remember that day? And you can always go back and rewatch, but that the New Testament far exceeds the Old Testament's glory. We've already established that. I do want to revisit 2 Corinthians 3. So let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Well, I'm going to read from 7 through 11. Okay, and it says, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? How will the ministry of the Spirit of God not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Did you read that? The ministry of righteousness, which is Christ, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, New Testament. The ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. What you carry is far greater than what you've even read about in the Old Testament, as glorious as that was. When we read about Moses and the encounters on Mount Sinai, and we read about the glorious cloud and thunderings, and we read about just the cloud of glory and the fire coming down, and we read, and it's incredible, but God says, I've poured a glory in you that far exceeds even what I've done in the Old Testament. It's glorious, and it exceeds. Verse 10, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Let's read that together, verse 11. For if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. What remains? What remains? It's the spirit of Jesus, his resurrection power on the inside of us. It's his glory deposited on the inside of us so that you become shining bright ones, revealing his light, his truth, his glory in a greater, greater fashion. There's a greater weight that we carry. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, so they don't cherish and they don't honor that which they really have because they don't know they have it. It comes through revelation. You have to have a revelation of what I'm speaking about. When you have a revelation of this, then it's that you realize this is a heavy weight. God chose us to carry this. What do we do with what he chose us to carry? Because it's important. It's weighty. It's heavy. It's beautiful, but it comes with responsibilities, right? And good responsibilities. He chose us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians still, but chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Thank you, Lord. There are things that are not seen that God has put on the inside of you, but you become seers, then you start to see in the realm of the Spirit, revelation. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They are eternal. We are going from glory to glory. We are being moved by his spirit. We are being fortified by his spirit. You are changing every moment that you say, yes, God, I want to do things your way. Yes, Lord, take me deeper in the realm of your spirit that I would understand the workings of the Holy Spirit and give more attention to what you do than what anyone else says or does. Amen? Amen. To give more attention, called to that. Let's look at Matthew 18 and 19. So we're called to a greater glory, and agreement is required. If we are called to walk individually and then corporately to a greater realm of God's glory, there's something that is required. Let me set this up a little bit, because you've all read that verse 1,000 times. We've all read this verse. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. We read it 1,000 times. It's a great verse. We love it. Great, wonderful, beautiful verse, right? But we're all called to walk in a greater sphere of glory, and agreement is required. Well, individually, how does that work for you individually? Well, you walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit. There's a greater sphere of glory that you walk in, and it's deposited by the Holy Spirit. You and the Spirit of God in agreement. When we come together as a corporate body, we're still in agreement with the Holy Spirit, but there's something else that's required. There's an agreement that is required amongst all of us in order for what's done here corporately, the move of the Spirit that's done here corporately, is something that far exceeds what was done the last time that we gathered corporately. So there's got to be an agreement with all of us here present. So number one, we come in agreement with the Lord, and that's a must. And then you'll see personal things in your own life because you're in agreement with the Holy Spirit and prayers are answered. But when we come in a corporate gathering, it's not just you and Jesus. It's you, Jesus, and everyone else that's present. And so it's critical that we come into agreement. And that word agreement, as I taught you that before, that word agreement is very, very important because the Greek words symphoneo, which is harmonious, like a symphony, harmonious. Agreement means harmony. Agreement means like a symphony. It means togetherness. It means, and that's 4856 for those that want to look up that word in Greek. It means to sound together. If two of you come with a unity in sound, if two of you have a glorious sound and it's together, it's harmonious.
Lord, because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the teaching.
It's in unity. It's like a symphony. Then what you've asked for will be done by my Father. There is such power that can be and is released when we come together in corporate worship. The devil knows it too, which is why he tries so hard to bring an aggravation or an agitation right when you try to worship. Or it might be a distraction or a worry or whatever it might be, but you all know what I'm talking about. You can just fill in the blank, but it's something to come to bring distraction, to bring you out of that place of agreement. So that when we come in a corporate worship, what God wanted to release on earth, the answers to prayers that that you've been asking for are shortchanged. Agreement. It's much, much deeper than, yeah, I agree. We're talking agreement in the realm of the spirit, where there is a yes, and it's so natural, it's such a flow, it doesn't even need to be spoken, right? Y'all following what I'm saying? Worship is that portal that takes us into that place of God's glory, the realm of his glory. It's the doorway to the greater glory. The worship that God produces in and through individuals is what he wants to usher people into his realm of the supernatural, his realm of intimacy, far greater than what we've experienced in the past, right? He wants greater. It's greater. It's building, and he's going to continue to build, right? And so here we do a lot of prophetic, spontaneous singing, not because we don't have enough songs to sing, but because that's the leading of the Lord. That's how I feel the Lord moves and wants us to move in the direction. So there's a lot of prophetic, spontaneous flow because it's right from the heart of God spoken. There's no practice. I'm not saying you can't practice. Great if you have the ability to practice. We don't have that. So guess what? We don't have times of practice. We just show up and we just worship. That's actually how we've always done it. But what I love is that there's a unity between us, and there has to be a unity between all of us. And the more that unity starts to be stronger and it just becomes strengthened, you know, the more we will see. Like today was glorious, it was beautiful, and it's been glorious, it's been beautiful. We've also seen the opposite, right? But I'm telling you, just because it's been glorious and beautiful, don't you think that the devil is just going to not try to have his way? But that's why I'm bringing it up. I'm not bringing it up because there's a problem. There's no problem. I'm bringing it up so that we don't let there be a problem. I'm bringing it up so that we are aware and wise to what's good is beautiful, but it doesn't make the enemy happy. And of course, he's going to try. And so we need to remember agreement. We need to be in symphony. It's not talking about sounds of like, how can you sing? Are you good? No. We're talking about hearts that just want to look to Jesus and worship him with everything and know that it's not just one person. It's a body of believers. And as you know, the sound of many waters, the Bible talks about the sound of many waters, right? That our sound together, collectively, corporately, becomes like this beautiful sound of many waters coming up unto him. Of course, he is the sound of many waters that comes down unto us. But we need to hear it. It and then reciprocate it back unto him. What do you think is happening in heaven? It's glorious. And it's repeated. It's repeated. It goes over and over and over. They sing it again and they sing it again. And it's this glorious time of worship. You know, when we worship, I get taken up. I have to get taken up in the spirit. If I don't get taken up, I have nothing to give. And so I get taken up into the realm of the spirit. And that's where the healings come from. That's where the deliverance comes from. That's where words of encouragement, where you become strengthened. You don't want anything from my strength. You don't want anything from any of our strengths, right? We want what we receive from one another to be through the Spirit of God that lives in us, right? So how critical is it for us as a body, not just me, not just Pastor James, but all of us, to get into that place of worship where we're so filled with the glory of God that whenever we pray or speak to someone, it is the overflow of God in us that's being released. That's how we're called to walk. As leaders, worship leaders, now we need to lead the pack, right? So that you can enter in too, so that you can then go forth and release what God has just shown you, what he's done unto you. So the enemy is really threatened by this. Because think about it. if we're gonna worship the King, and if we're gonna really worship in intimacy, right, and we understand that, wow, there are treasures that get released when we do this. There are, when I say treasures, I mean everything that is needed, you know, healing and deliverance and salvation and, you know, regeneration, everything, right? Just bold confidence, just everything that is needed, right, is released when we worship. Don't you think that the enemy is threatened by that? Don't you know that that's why he tries so hard to come against? And if he can't come against me, or if he can't come against us together here, you know, leading, then what is he going to do? But he's going to try to come against one another and cause those irritations so that you don't get to receive what you were called to receive, so that you're shortchanged. But when we become wise in the things of the Lord, we recognize, no, I carry the glory already. You already carry the glory of God. When we come together, there's a greater glory that is being deposited and released in your lives, so that you walk in a way that even other Christians don't understand. The world doesn't understand, but even other Christians don't, not all, they don't all understand what you're talking about. But I know it's for us. I know it's for all of us. I know this is what God wants us to walk in. I know that he wants us to understand this. You know that many of you get healed in the glory. I always say that, get healed in the glory. You know, many of you get delivered in the glory. Even just, I don't believe anybody here at this point in time is, you know, really like has these demons, right? I believe that from time to time, if something that, you know, some opposition, some oppression that has come, then of course that thing gets dealt with and it's gone. And half of the time we don't even have to deal with it. We just sing. We just worship, you know, and then God does it. That's what he showed me that. This is a while ago, but he did tell me that. And he said, you know, did you really think that, you know, the church I was going to have you, you know, minister to and from and minister to, that they were going to have all these demonic problems? Like, they're not going to stand. They're not going to be able to live. Of course they have to be driven out. Even just when you sing, they're going to go. Because I was like, well, where's all the deliverances? You know, I did deliverance for years, you know. Not that, I mean, we're not looking for trouble. Messiness and all that, whatever. But we are looking for souls to be set free, that's for sure. Okay, back on track. when we worship as a body, there's healing that takes place and there's deliverance that takes place. I probably should just insert this. Do I believe that people can come and then get delivered 100%? Yes and amen. And they do that, and it happens, and you've all seen it. The whole world has seen it. You know, trash cans coming out, the gold cloths come out, you know, the coverings, and yeah, no, we know. We do all that. That's part of our walk. We get to do that. But what the Lord was showing me is that in the realm of God's glory, in this kind of worship, demons run. They just run. They don't want to be here. I mean, you have your occasional person that's just like, you know, but most of the times, demons run. They're just like afraid of this. They can't stand it. We've actually seen people run out of this room. Like, literally run. They're like, I'm out of here. Yeah, because they wanted to keep their demons. But if they wanted to have freedom, they could have stayed. Worship is the portal. And God is showing us, he's showing us that when we walk in the realm of glory, he wants to increase that realm of glory for us. And it's going to be through worship. It's going to be, and it already has, but it's going to continue. It's going to continue. You know, a perfect example of demons being driven out just through worship is David. You guys remember in David, when King Saul was just tormented by spirits, David just got his harp out. And he just started to worship. And then those demons that were afflicting Saul had to go. They just, when David worshiped, Saul was set free. Now, of course, they came back in, sure, because Saul had not given his life over. He had not really surrendered, so of course there was open doors. But every time David worshipped, Saul was set free. There was peace in his mind. If you want to look that up later, it's 1 Samuel 16:23. Some of you may want to look that up later. 1 Samuel 16:23. But that's what happens here. We worship, and those little things that oppositions that even got on you during the week. We're not talking about somebody that needs major deliverance. We're just talking about those little things, those annoyances, those frustrations, those fears, and just little things, you know, depression. They're subtle. The enemy's subtle. Of course, that doesn't mean you're demonized. You're not possessed, but it's those oppositions that kind of come on you as a weight. Those things have to go. They go. They just, you get freed up. That's why you leave and you go, man, I feel so good. Yeah, you just got rid of some baggage. All you did was worship. And the glory of God came. And that, and you're being taught how to walk in a greater realm of glory so that you cherish it. You cherish his presence. You cherish it. And you know how to steward it well. Let's steward his glory well. Amen. Thank you, Father. Haggai 2:9, it says, the glory of the latter house is greater than the former. And that's what we are receiving. It's going to continue to increase. It's going to continue. Let's turn to Exodus 19 and 16. This is when Moses was taken up to Mount Sinai. Verse 16 says, then it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled, caused fear, caused an awe. Yeah. Because the presence of God is quite awe-striking. I mean, it's just, they heard and they saw all of this. And Moses, verse 17, brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. To have a holy fear of God is critical. To have an awe of his presence is just so important. Moses brings them out of the camp so that they could stand at the foot of the mountain so that they can meet with God. Church, when we come together, realize that you're coming to meet with God. You're coming to meet with him. It says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke. What's smoke? It's like a cloud over that mountain. It was completely in smoke. There was a cloud that was hovering over this mountain. And it says, the why? It says, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. There was a cloud of fire, and then there was smoke, and then it produced that cloud, which would look like the fire and the clouds. Its smoke ascended like, it says, like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Wow. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. And verse 20, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And that's when he got his instructions, right? Moses went up. Don't you know that God is the same? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? For God to give you something similar to this or the same thing is nothing for the Lord, right? He can give you that same encounter or something like it. But for God to give you something that's tangible and specific to your life is definitely what he is doing. But we have to have eyes to see and to hear and an expectation that God wants to move. And this is great, but he wants to give you greater. He wants to give you greater. And it'll look different, it'll sound different, but if we have a hunger and an appetite, Lord, what do you want to show me? Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that latter glory. I thank you, it's greater, it's increasing. Lord, it's your presence. It's his presence and it's his power. Amen. His presence and his power in us. It's incredible, it's beautiful. Do you know that when I first got called back in 2008, when I was having like a ton of these kinds of visions, a lot of these visions, I shared with you last time one of them, but when I was having vision after vision after vision, and I mean intense visions, and this is when I would say there was definitely a time where the Lord was calling me and drawing me, right, into ministry back in 2008. So this is like, you know, before I got ordained, before any of that, before man, you know, any man's approval, which is, you know, I don't live for man's approval, but there is something to someone recognizing a gift in your life. This is way before any of that, right? I started having encounters and visions, and I am telling you this very thing, oh my goodness, where there was this mountain and this cloud of glory just hovered. The cloud was dark, this dark cloud like smoke, and then this fire that ascended right on the mountain, and that's where I was, right in front of this mountain. Literally, I heard the voice of the Lord tell me to come up higher. And it's like, my goodness, I had to go look in the Word because I was good with all of it except for that I didn't understand why it was dark. I didn't know that the Lord actually comes in a dark cloud. And that's actually a scripture. I thought, Lord, this is beautiful and it's glorious, but if this is really you, why is the cloud dark? Shouldn't it be white and puffy and beautiful? You know, but it was dark, you know. But then when I looked and I read, and it's like the Lord comes in a dark cloud. And just like the callings that God called Moses to come into a place of secret intimacy, God has marked my life by it. And I believe this is what the Lord spoke to me this week. And he said, the people that I draw to the ministry that I've given you, to your church, the people that I draw are people that I'm also calling to walk in this kind of an intimate lifestyle with me, where it's that glory encounter that they will have. It's glorious. And there's glory after glory after glory of these types of encounters that God says, I'm not done. You think I'm done? You think that I'm done? You think that that was the best of my best? No, it increases. Because I used to have, and maybe you used to too, an understanding that it was far, far better what we read in the Old Testament. And now it's good because, you know, we have Jesus. So we don't need any of that. We don't need, it was just far, far better before. But we're good. We're good. You know? And then God starts bringing me into these places of these encounters, right? I mean, like crazy stuff. And I didn't talk about him for years. That was 17 years ago. I didn't talk about it for years. And a little bit at a time, I believe God is telling me to share. But I know this one thing. I know he's called me to walk in the realm of glory. And I know glory is not just all sweet and beautiful, although it is. But it's also fire and power. We just read it. What happened on Mount Sinai? There was the cloud, but there was fire. It's both. And I believe, because God told me this week, to encourage you all, that who he draws you to, like for instance in this church, when he draws you, is because it's the same DNA. It's the same creative giftings, and it's same slash similar creative drawings and giftings. And he's drawing you because he wants to deposit a greater realm of his glory and for you to be hungry for it, to be hungry for it, to increase your expectations, to increase the possibilities, because we are all on this journey together. And we do have one life to live. And like I've said 1,000 times, and I want my life to represent Christ well. Laid down lover of Jesus. When I meet the Lord, I mean, dear pastor friend of mine just passed. When I go to be with Jesus, when you go to be with Jesus, don't we want what's said of our lives? That they served Jesus well. They served the Lord well, and they influenced my life in a big way. If you serve the Lord well, you're going to influence many people well. And that's what we want our lives to represent. We want that spoken of us. So when we think about the glory of God, and we think about the fact that his glory lives on the inside of us, his power lives on the inside of us, and that it's increasing, it's not because, well, God is getting bigger. It's because our ability to receive it, understand it, and walk in it is what increases.